Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to Proverbs chapter 31. How many are ready for a nice flowery message on Mother's Day? You'll have to go find that one later. I still remember being told, boy, it just seems like they're all flowery messages on Mother's Day, and we get to Father's Day, and it's like, buckle up and hold on. Proverbs 31. I am thankful for a godly mother. Thankful for the investment into my life. Proverbs 31, if you found it, let's stand together if you're able to. We're going to read a rather lengthy passage of Scripture, what the Bible says about a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse number 10, says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her handmaidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Isn't that a wonderful description of a godly wife and mother? You know, the Bible does describe and give instruction on how to live. And I'm thankful, and I believe that there are several young people and there are several husbands that could say, "I'm thankful for that type of wife, that type of mother that God has given to me." I want to preach this morning, and even though I read Proverbs 31, I really want to preach, and it would be a generic message, is what I would say, on the subject matter of a godly identity. Not just the identity of a godly mother, but I believe what we look at today, we can apply to each and every one of us. And so, yes, we as men need to pay attention to what the Bible is saying to us today. A godly identity. Let's pray and we'll look at the Scriptures. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the practical truth that it gives to us each and every day. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts today, most of all, that we would resemble Christ and that Christ may do a work in our hearts and lives. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, then, Lord, I pray that they would surrender to you today. And, Lord, get their eternity settled. Thank you for the Bible now. In Jesus' name, Amen. You may be seated. A godly identity, there's several things beginning in verse number 10 all the way down through, and there is at least a lifetime worth of preaching as we come down through and just looking at these characteristics of a virtuous woman. Several physical things that is listed down through here about her work ethic. And may I remind us that this does not sound like just the lady that stays in the house and is chained to the stove and the kitchen sink on a regular basis. So if that's your mentality about a godly wife and mother, may I remind us that that's not to be found in the Bible. And as we read down through here, I will say this before we get into the latter part of this chapter of Scripture and share just a few thoughts to encourage us, that there is much that is said here for the dependence upon the wife and mother in the home and her physical ability, but then also her spiritual ability, her emotional ability, even her financial ability. It's getting quiet. So that mentality, husband, of, well, bless God, I'm in charge of everything. I understand godly leadership in the home, but there's areas that my wife is stronger and better at than what I am. And if I'm wise, guess what? God's put us together. A help meet, that which completes me. And I'm thankful for that. We see her outreach to those that are around her. We see her ability there, not just to be able to view a piece of property, but even to be able to purchase it. You say, well, I bet she counseled with her husband first. Well, we'll just let the Bible speak for itself. She has great ability. But then we get towards the end of the chapter, and here's what God began speaking to my heart about this week on the identity and not just the ability. The identity on what they are known for. And yes, it's in the context, the Bible says, of a virtuous woman. But may I say, as we come down through here, I believe this application, these principles, can actually apply to each and every one of our lives. A godly identity. I'm going to read again, starting in verse number 25, down through the end of the chapter. And we'll look at four principles that I see down through here on our identity of a godly individual. It says in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I'm not going to deal with the beauty is vain, but how many here ever heard that statement, that beauty is skin deep, but ugly goes clear to the bone? Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But I also did hear, and I'm thankful for a pretty wife, I did hear this, and I don't know if it was down in New Jersey, but one guy said this. He said, just remember, though, you can't kiss character. He said, so it does help. He said, if there is some beauty that's there, he said, it does help. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. First of all, I want us to see, starting in verse number 25, that the focus of a godly identity is on the future investment and not just living for today and today only. Looking at the future investment, do you understand specifically when it comes to a wife and a mother, the Bible tells us throughout the Proverbs here and throughout the Scriptures that children are an heritage of the Lord. How many here would say that you remember or have some characteristic in your life that your mother helped to develop and culture in your life? You have something today that your mother influenced you. Do you know what she was thinking of? The future. She was thinking there's going to be a day and a time that, listen, mama's not going to be around. How many ever said, hey, there's going to come a time mama's not going to be there to pick up your socks? Mama's not going to be there to make your bed. Mama's not going to be there to wash your dishes. How many ever made the stupid statement and said, yeah, that's why I'm getting married? Yeah, on Mother's Day, we don't make statements like that, do we? But I will say this, that every godly mother has something in their heart understanding that the children that God has given to them, they're not looking at just this day that God's given to them, but they're looking at an investment for the future. They're looking at what God is going to use their children to be able to accomplish in the years to come. Do you know that there had to be some godly mother? We think about Jonathan Edwards, but we think about his wife. As she would sit there for hours on end, and it was, if I'm getting my numbers right, I believe she had 17 children. And you say, what in the world would I ever do with 17 children? She dedicated throughout that week that she was going to make sure to be able to spend 1 hour of uninterrupted time every week with each one of those children. Do you know why? It was of a necessity, and she said, I'm going to pour into them. Listen, we only have a limited time, but the Bible says this, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. And can I just give a little side note here? Not everything about being a mother, not everything about being a Christian is rejoicing all the time, but I saw that statement with a godly mother, she shall rejoice in time to come. So listen, our investment is not just for making the difference today, but we sure are looking forward to the day. I heard it this week, and it's not by any means in a prideful way, but I'll say this. I heard the testimony of a mother that their son was in Alabama preaching this week. And just thankful, hey, it wasn't in a prideful way. It wasn't in, boy, I'm such a good boy. It was in all giving glory to God. But I heard, listen, I know there's times, and I sit back and you sit back and say, listen, is there ever going to be a difference made? But then we sit back on days like that and we're saying, boy, this is the time the Bible's talking about. These are the days that we can sit back. For most people, it's when their grandkids come in. That's the rejoicing in the days to come. But listen, the investment and our focus cannot just be on today, but what God is allowing us in our lives to be able to do for now, not just as parents, but in our Christian life. Listen, what we're doing today is for the investment in the future. In fact, even Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But what he did say is, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know what he's saying? Hey, if you're going to live for God, and our focus is going to be right, and we have a godly identity, we're going to be more focused on the future and what we're doing today in preparation for the future. And can I encourage our young mothers here, stay with it. Young fathers, stay with it. So far, I can say it's worth it. So far, there's other parents that would come alongside of you and say, listen, discipline them, correct them, have it in your home, structured time. This is not the new babysitter, by the way. Spend time with them. Why have children if you're not even going to talk to them and spend time with them? Why? Invest in them. Pour your life into them. Why? Because you'll rejoice in the days to come. A godly identity is that which the focus is on the future investment that we're making. How many here have ever made a financial investment and you made it the first month and you got on the second month and you pulled it up and said, well, that didn't do much? How many have had some investments now for years and you're saying, man, I'm glad that I started that 20 years ago because look at the investment that's coming today. And there'll be parents all across this nation around this world that they say, you know something? I'm sure glad I started that when they were young Hey, it's okay to be teaching them kids to sit in church and not to leave it a trash heap when they walk out, to respect the house of God, to be right in the house of God. It's okay to do all of that, you know something? Because they grow up to be respectable adults. And then parents sit back and say, man, I'm glad I took care of that when they were a kid. Because then we don't have to deal with it now when they're 18. When they're 13, it seems like it's starting younger and younger and younger. But the focus is on a future investment. But then I thought about verse number 26, and let me share this with you. A godly identity is one whose speech is beneficial and kind. How many ever had a mother look at him and say, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all? It's almost straight out of the book of Proverbs, isn't it? That's where she got it from. The law of kindness, the Bible says in verse 26, is in her tongue. Read the whole verse. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. It's just laying down the law about being kind. Here's a godly mother, but may I step beyond the motherhood realm today and say it would be beneficial for each and every one of us when we open our mouths to let it flow with wisdom. I wrote down beside that, and it's not my notes for preaching this morning, but I wrote down beside it personally there when it says she openeth her mouth with wisdom, it says she has a fear of the Lord. Because the Bible teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I thought, boy, we're raising a generation now. Hey, listen, I wonder if every word was recorded around our household today. I wonder if we'd be thankful if that was replayed on Sunday morning for everybody to hear. Openeth her mouth with wisdom. You say, man, he's getting after the mothers today. Well, what about us men? What about us young people? What about a godly identity of the words that are spoken are beneficial and kind? You know, it's okay to speak nice to one another. And I understand that sometimes we have to say hard things, but they can still be seasoned with grace and seasoned with love. I've heard some moms specifically go off on their children. And I thought, you know something? If that was my mom, I'd probably be rebelling too. The way she talks. I'm thinking that had no reason to talk like that. Hey, it's not right to speak vulgar even when we're angry. And boy, we've got to be careful. What comes out of our mouths, let's jump back into motherhood now. What comes out of our mouths, the things that are said to our children. I wish I never had you. What do you think they're going to remember for the next 15 years? You are nothing but a mistake. What do you think they're going to be thinking about? Hey, what about asking God to be able to control our speech? Not just with mothers to their children, but what about between husbands and wives to their husband and children to their parents? Some of the most harmful things I've ever heard is children looking at their parents and thinking that it's all right to say whatever they want to. No, that ain't right. A godly identity. Hey, there was a time, and you know this, it was back when my dad wouldn't get arrested for it. That if I talked that way to my mom, I'd end up in that corner over there from standing right here. Because long before she was ever my mom, guess what? That was his wife. And long after I'm out of the house, guess what? Still the wife. And you're just not talking like that. There's some dads that need to start correcting some way some kids talk to their mamas. Ought not to tolerate that. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. The speech is beneficial and kind. And listen, it's not full of gossip. It's not full of lies. It's beneficial speech. We're talking about the virtuous woman here, but application can go to each and every one of us on what comes out of our mouths. But then I want you to see in verse number 27, I want you to see a godly identity that believes that time is precious. Time is precious. He said in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. The bread of idleness. You say, well, what do you mean? And I also put down here that time is precious and it's well used. Do you know how many times I've driven by a park where usually a mother is there with the children throughout the day, and the entire time is just being passed by the mother because they can't get their face out of the phone? Do you know it's perfectly okay to text your husband and say, I'm leaving the phone in the car and I'm at the park with the kids and I'm spending time with them? It's okay to leave it behind. Do you know why God can't even speak to us sometimes? Because we're posting on Facebook during church. Now, when I start talking and the Bible starts talking about the bread of idleness, I don't think it's just sitting around twiddling our thumbs doing nothing. I think it's just uselessness. Things of not accomplishing anything whatsoever. I would dare some and don't write the number down. Don't hand it to anybody. I'd dare some to get on their phone and go to that usage line and see what the most popular apps are on there. You say, yeah, boy, you're getting on the moms today. Hey, there's some dads that are missing everything. They may be working 8, 10, 12 hours a day, but by the time they get back home, they're sitting on their screen idle, not getting a thing accomplished, and then wonder why the children are turning out the way that they're turning out. It's no wonder, listen, her children arise and call her blessed. I wonder if the number one characteristic of some mothers and fathers nowadays is they had a good Facebook account. But I never got to play ball with Dad because he was on the computer all the time. I never went on the swing with Mom because we'd go to the park. I went to the park all the time, but she'd sit over there on her phone. She never played a game with me, but she was on the phone. Idleness, useless time that is being spent. Time is precious. How many realize it the older that you get and the older your kids are? You're like, man, I've got a couple more years. Hey, listen, we run out of time. And yes, I understand we plan for this. We prepare for this. I'm not raising my kids to live in my house until they're 35. I'm raising my kids to be able to be self-sustaining and to be able to get out and to be able to raise their families and to be able to bring the grandkids back to the house. That's the whole purpose in all of this. But listen, time's precious. Don't let it fly by without investing, without realizing, hey, there's some husbands and wives that need to understand time is precious, because there's going to come a day you're not going to be able to walk hand in hand around the block. There's going to come a time, listen, that you're so desiring, I just wish my companion was here to be able to spend some time with. And before you know it, it's going to be a quiet living room that you're sitting in. We can't afford the time of eating the bread of idleness. We can't afford it. Hey, listen, a godly identity, and I'm not talking about just being so busy to fill time. I'm talking about useful time. And I did this, and I still do this. There are certain times that I have scheduled. I'm scheduled during that time. Everybody understands that. You know what that schedule may be? Taking my wife out to lunch. Going and sitting down and having a cup of coffee or a cup of tea somewhere. It may be just alone time. I saw a missionary one time, and he'd never write it in his calendar, because if a pastor picked it up and looked at it, he said, but there's certain weeks, he said, that I'd mark that off and I'd just write booked. He said, but you know what that was? He said, my wife and I were spending some time together that week. He said, I might be gone other weeks out of the year. He said, but I was making sure. He said, I'm not talking about being lazy. He said, I'm not talking about sitting idle. Now listen, I'm talking about looking at a godly identity. The godly identity of a Christian mother is not eating the bread of idleness, but it's understanding that time is precious. Here in another few weeks, we're going to welcome our other new baby into the church here. Lord willing, aren't you ready, Miss Taya? Corey and Taya going to usher their baby boy into this world. And we say, oh, look at the baby and how wonderful it is. Guess what? Before they blink, guess what? That baby boy is going to be in school. You've got a new driver in the house now. Their oldest just passed his driver's test this week. Boy, time flies like that. Kids are out of the house, and then you're saying, boy, I wish I could hold them in my arms again. Hey, there's times we sit back and say, I regret doing this and doing this. I had one preacher, he reminded me of this years ago. He said, Brother Peter, he said, let me remind you. He said, there's no one that ever laid on the deathbed and said, I wish I'd spent more time in the office. He said, but there are those that lay on the deathbed and say, boy, I wish I spent some more time with my kids. I wish I'd spent some more time. Hey, listen, can I remind us too? Sitting in front of that television isn't your time with your family. Sitting there surfing on the internet, that's not your family time. That's not investing in the next generation. You say, hey, I believe I'm married to a virtuous woman. Hey, a godly identity? Let's read down through here and see how each and every one of us fill these characteristics. Can I say this too? Bible says in verse number 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Verse number 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know what I never saw down through here? I never saw this virtuous woman praising herself. You say, well, what's that mean for 2021? You ready? And I wrote it down. You can come see my notes if you want to. A godly identity does not have to be a selfie mom. Hashtag living the dream as a mom. I wish every person was the person that they portrayed on social media. Do you understand it's not for us to put out there and be praising ourselves? Hey, who can find a faithful man? No, every man will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? We're in such a selfie generation just to be able to put out there for everybody to be able to say, oh, they're such a good person. And we're just stimulating our own praise in our lives. How about we just live and be who God's called us to be? And let our works do the praising. Let the children rise up and call the mother blessed. Let the husband brag on his wife for a while. Her husband will praise her. We don't have to be in this selfie generation that I'm trying to get all the praise from everybody else. No. How about we just be obedient to God? I heard one preacher say this. And I'm still thinking through it, so I can't say it's gospel truth. He said, I believe every selfie is prideful because we're saying, look at me. I'm still chewing on that one. I haven't put a selfie on since then. I'm still chewing on it a little bit, just searching my heart, saying, hey, where are we at on this? But it closes out here with the emphasis that it's not us doing the praising. Let someone else do it. And we just need to be found faithful. How about some fathers and some mothers that are willing to have a godly identity and to be able to live for God and to be able to control their mouth and to be able to control their time and they're not eating the bread of idleness? Listen, we have a certain amount of time that God has given to us to be able to invest in the next generation, and we better take advantage of every minute of it. I saw one illustration this way, that they had buckets of gumballs up here. And if you took all the number of hours that are in an entire year and break that down on how many are in church, say it's 3 or 4 hours a week in church if you come to all the services. Do you understand that at 4 hours a week, that's only 208 hours for the year that that young person's in church if you have them here the entire time. And the rest of the time, those kids are under the tutelage of their parents. But we walk into church and say, okay, fix them. You got 208 hours this year. Let's see what you can do. I'm saying, Lord, would you help us to have a godly identity in our lives? What a wonderful day, not just for mothers. What a wonderful day for each and every one of us to evaluate our personal lives and say, are we living for God or are we living for ourselves? It's understandable, listen, that some kids are turning out the way they're turning out when I look back at the parents. But I also say this, I understand there's personal accountability there. There's parents that have poured everything into them kids. And I'm not saying giving them everything. They have poured into them. They have had them in church. They haven't missed. They have read the scriptures to them. And them kids get to the point and say, I don't want any of it. Hey, listen, that doesn't always come back on those parents. It doesn't. And I'll be the first one to say, there's some godly parents. Are you telling me that Cain and Abel being raised in the exact same household, the exact same way, and one turns out to be a murderer and the other one turns out dead? You have a Jacob and Esau in the exact same household. Now, we can look back and get an illustration there. There was favoritism between the parents. Raised in the exact same household, one goes off one direction, one goes the other direction. I understand they're responsible for it. But in our households, I believe that we can get back to a biblical and godly identity for our homes and our marriages and our parenting, and in our lives, we can get back to it. There may be some things that have been said and words that have come out of some mouths that, listen, need to be gotten right. There may be some relationships that need to be mended. There may be need some strength to be able to be garnished because there's some moms saying, listen, I don't know how much longer I can do it. Keep looking into the future. There's a rejoicing day coming. Keep pouring into them. Keep reading the Bible to them. Hey, it's okay. Come Easter time, they might walk up and say Jesus was in a tote. You say, oh, they don't have it all right. Hey, they understand Jesus died and he was buried and rose again. Now, where he was for that 3 days, whether it's in a tote or a tomb, he'll figure it out one day. But I thought, listen, keep pouring into him. Keep reading that Bible to him. Keep spending time in prayer. Hey, you say, I don't know how much they understand. When you say we need to pray at dinner time and they go like that, they may not understand praying, but they know you're doing something. And you keep doing it. You keep doing it. A godly identity in our lives. What comes out of our mouths? Are we focusing more on a future investment? Are we understanding that time is precious? Or maybe we need to get some things right in our lives. And there's been some that are spending more time on that right there than they are with their kids. And it needs to be gotten right. You know what I've been asking the Lord to help me with? Not everybody needs an answer back on a text message in the first 30 seconds. I've been asking the Lord to help me with that. You know something? If I'm sitting there with my family, something can wait 30 minutes before I answer back a text message. Just apologize if you get offended at that. I'm sorry that you got offended. Not sorry that I'm waiting. Is that okay, Brother Jackson? It's okay? We allow some things to govern our lives, and we're wondering why we're losing a generation out of the church. A godly identity. Now, here's the thing. You may not have grown up with that. You may say, my kids are already out of the house. It's never too late to try to start investing spiritually in them. It's never too late. You say, but the life that I've lived, and listen, where things are at today, let them see the difference that Jesus has made in your life. Let them see it. You say, well, they don't want to hear it anymore. Then let them see it. Hey, mom and daddy ain't the same person that they were 30 years ago. God's made a difference. Now, you may be here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Hey, you don't even have a foundation to start building on. Can I say the number one thing is, listen, make sure that you're saved. Make sure you say, I don't have an example to look to. Well, I'm thankful we've got Jesus. We've got God. He said, well, David said, when my father and mother forsake me, guess what? The Lord will take me up. We've got an example of a heavenly father, and we can just go to the scriptures and see how God treats us as a children, and you just take that example and let's duplicate it down here on earth. I believe it'd be all right. And I look at the scriptures and say it needs to start with our relationship with Christ, but then I believe this. I just believe that we need to start having a godly identity in our homes, in our marriages, in our families. I believe it'll bleed over into our church. Young people that are desiring to get married at one time, boy, this young men, this is what you need to be looking at. This is what you need to be saying. Young ladies, this is who you need to become. Hey, and it'll be okay. Proverbs 31, woman, you say, oh, but the handsome guys aren't looking for that right there. Oh, the stud muffins, they're not looking for Proverbs 31. They want a trophy wife. Hey, the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. You'll be worth a whole lot more as a godly wife and mother than what you'd ever be living the way of this world. I will desiring to be godly and to live godly, have a godly identity. And say, God, would you change some things in my life? Time is precious. Use it well. I wonder what you're sacrificing in place of time with children and time with family. I wonder what you're sacrificing for right now. What's more important? May God help us to have a godly identity in our homes, in our marriages. Yes, on Mother's Day, may each and every mother, future mother, prospective mother, may we come back to Proverbs 31 and say, God, that's who I want to be. I want when my mouth is open that it flows with wisdom. I want my tongue to be the law of kindness. I want my children to arise up and call me blessed. It's okay to desire to be a Proverbs 31 wife. It's okay to desire to be a Proverbs 31 mother. To let others praise you, not to live in a selfie world that's all around us, but let others do the praising. Let's just be humble and go forward and live how God desires for us to. But if you're here today and you're not saved, may I say this? None of this is possible. None of this is possible outside of Christ. It's not. And that's where you need to start, is your personal relationship with the Lord. But then wives and mothers, what needs to be made right today? Christians, let's take this and apply it to our lives of having a godly identity on who we are.